taste of sugar sure reminds me of your kiss. I like the way that they both linger on my lips. Kisses remind me of Litfield and butterflies. It must be the way my heart is fluttering inside.
Michelle Franzen. As President Trump marks 100 days in office this week, the president is pushing back on the latest ABC News Washington Post poll that shows him with the lowest approval rating at this point in office for any president in the past 80 years. ABC's Karen Travers has details.
The president was taking issue with the methodology of our poll and a slew of other polls that came out over the weekend that show he has very low approval ratings right now. Our polling analyst said that the president's claims were just flat out wrong in terms of the numbers in this poll.
A judge overseeing the Harvard University lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's funding freeze has set a date of July 21st to hear oral arguments. That freeze of some $2 billion remains in effect until then. The federal funds were frozen over claims Harvard didn't do enough to protect Jewish students during pro-Palestinian demonstrations. The Vatican announcing cardinals will convene May 7th for the process of choosing a new pope, known as the conclave. This is ABC News. The NFL's Washington Commanders have carved out a deal with the mayor of D.C. that would return the team to the city. A new $3.7 billion facility would be built where the aging RFK Stadium still stands.
The agreement would have the Commanders returning to the RFK Stadium site from Maryland, where the team has been playing for nearly three decades. The move made possible by an act of Congress last December, which gives the D.C. government greater control over the federally owned land. The cost of the new stadium would mainly be borne by the team, but over $1 billion would come from public funds if the D.C. Council approves. Mayor Muriel Bowser.
This is a massive investment and the largest private investment in the district's history.
Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
After a weekend of severe storms that included 10 reported tornadoes in Nebraska, a tornado outbreak is still a threat today, this time for the upper Midwest, including Minneapolis. Oklahoma could see 2 days of life-threatening flash flooding this week. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling Grandma for her recipe, no-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m., big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas, the ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2024 with select plans. Straight Talk, real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 5/19/25. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store single-line activation on qualifying plan. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. Milwaukee elected officials react to the Friday morning arrest of Milwaukee County Court Judge Hannah Dugan by federal agents. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley calls the circumstances of Dugan's arrest at the courthouse concerning.
We are talking about a sitting judge who upholds the laws and interpret our laws. But for her, for example, to come to the courthouse and be arrested, why didn't this happen at her home?
Judge Dugan allegedly assisted in an undocumented immigrant, Eduardo Flores Ruiz, to avoid arrest at the courthouse a week ago. She's charged with obstruction and concealing an individual from arrest. At the Capitol, lawmakers are considering Braden's law, increasing penalties for sextortion, especially if it leads to suicide. The fast-growing cybercrime targets kids to send explicit images and extorts them for money or more content. The bill, named after Wausau area 15-year-old Braden Bone, had a recent public hearing in an assembly committee chaired by Representative John Spiros.
There are predators like this that are looking to manipulate children and possibly take their lives, and they don't care. And that's what's sad.
Braden died by suicide in March after being victimized by a cyber criminal. The bill would make sextortion perpetrators eligible for felony murder charges if their actions result in a victim's suicide. The Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association has approved a name, image, and likeness amendment.
The approved constitutional amendment will allow students to enter into NIL opportunities for activities not associated or identified with their school team, school, conference, or the WIAA. Students also can't wear their school team's uniform in any endorsement deal or use the marks and logos of their school, conference, or the WIAA. Compensation for NIL deals also can't be based on a student's on-field performance, and the deals cannot be provided as a means of recruiting. Shaw Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Thunderstorms are expected today in multiple rounds, and some could be severe, bringing hail, high winds, and heavy downpours. And tornadoes are possible, too. Some could start out ahead of the line moving in late tonight. So stay weather savvy from this afternoon through about midnight. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
The used machinery markets, and we'll take a deep dive into weather outlook. Plenty of severe weather coming our way to start the week. And we'll get the latest on Mexico's battle to control the New World screwworm.
From an off day for my beloved Royals via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Greg Peterson, that's Machinery Pete. Then it's an extended conversation with Brett Waltz from BAM WX. And later we'll wrap up with Ethan Lane from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chuck Borey.
All right, Davis, hey, thank you so much. It looks to me like, I don't know, every other day is an off day for the Royals at this point.
Ouch. Ouch. But, you know, you're going to open with that? You're going to start with that? I'm wearing Royals blue right now to try and pull it together. We had a great time at the stadium yesterday. Unfortunately, the Astros just, they brought a little too much baseball with them, and we couldn't quite get past them. But whatever. You know, we'll pick up the pieces.
Hey, that is a team known to bring its own set of rules with it, too, okay?
Well, fortunately, I don't understand baseball well enough to, like, know. You could slide all sorts of stuff by me, and yeah, I wouldn't have any idea. So I really can't comment on that.
All right.
Couldn't beat them. We tried. We really tried.
Dang it. Yeah, we had the problem with the Phillies, too. I mean, there's, what, three ex-Cubs on that? No, two. Mm-hmm. Two. There might be three. Mm-hmm. But they, too many ex-Cubs on that team for the Cubs to beat them on the Phillies.
Yeah.
So we got one. We got one of the three, but man, oh man, extra innings, a couple of times.
Ooh, so. Well, yep. We'll get them next time, you know?
Well, we hope so.
Or not.
We hope so. Yeah.
Either way.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I am Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Monday morning. That is Davis Michelson.
Hello.
Boy, I tell you what, there is. We're still trying to figure out exactly what's on, what's off when it comes to trade talks and issues. What's on, what's off when it comes to a battle between Russia and Ukraine. Now they're calling for like a three-day ceasefire. Hey, what does that get us? I'm not even sure what's happening there. But on the market side of things, we're getting the week started with a little bit of pressure in the corn and soybean markets, 3 to 5 cents lower there. Soybean oil is trading to the upside, but the spreaders are on the sell side of the meal market. Some double-digit losses in the wheat trade. I think we're looking at improved growing conditions in the central and southern plains.
Yeah.
And then it looks to me like the live cattle market is going to have to factor in another round of new all-time highs in the cash market from last week.
Yeah. Cattle forgot how to go down, apparently. They just go up from
here
on.
For now, they have.
That's all there is.
For now, they have. Yeah. All right. What else you got in the news?
Well, let's start with the National Weather Service. Multiple corridors of severe thunderstorms are expected across the upper Midwest today and tonight, with a severe weather outbreak, including strong tornado potential possible. The most dangerous period is likely during the late afternoon and evening, when strong tornado potential should be maximized. Large to very large hail and strong damaging winds are likely as well. They've taken some of the heat out of the forecast here for KC, just a few degrees lower, though. Yesterday, we were just about chilly at the ballpark. Today, yeah, we're high 70s headed for. That's that flip in the air temperature, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. Earlier this morning, there was one severe thunderstorm warning on the entire map, okay? And it was right over the Florey Ranch. We had a good one roll through here already today, and a lot more it seems to be on the way. We'll check with Brett on that.
Indeed. With a focus on key reconciliation and tax cut issues, the reconciliation bill is expected to include extensions of Trump-era tax cuts and new tax cuts, significant increases in border security and defense spending, reforms to energy policy, and substantial reductions in federal spending. If GOP leaders give the go-ahead, some new farm bill language may be included in the reconciliation measure, such as higher reference prices and some positive crop insurance language. Mm-hmm. The Senate's Byrd rule will not allow an entire farm bill via reconciliation.
Right. This is an important week. This is a week that the Republicans in the House and the Senate have been targeting for quite some time to get that one big, beautiful bill done. Now, what exactly is going to be in it, that's yet to be determined. But like you said, it feels like they are going to try to piecemeal together some farm bill provisions in there, and we'll see how that all progresses.
Yep. Well, Chip, China has quietly begun de-escalating its trade conflict with the U.S., reportedly exempting most U.S. origin semiconductors from its 125% retaliatory tariffs effective April 24. Additionally, a rumored tariff exemption list circulating since last Thursday, and we did talk about that list last week, mm-hmm, includes pharmaceuticals, semiconductors, equipment, jet engines, and other key U.S. industrial exports. The items reportedly account for about $45 billion or 30% of China's 2024 imports from the U.S. If verified, this rollback may signal Beijing's willingness to reduce tensions and opens the door for reciprocal moves from Washington. You mentioned the on and off kind of thing.
Yep.
I don't know. I hesitate to even, who knows what this story looks like by tomorrow.
Right.
But here we are.
Over the weekend, the conversation turned to maybe some of the tariff revenues can offset income taxes. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. That doesn't sound to me like this tariff issue is a short-term deal at all.
Right.
It seems to me they'll leave on that 10% base tariff and see what kind of revenue that can generate. And if it generates enough, maybe it turns into more tax cuts in the spending bill.
Yeah, I kind of don't mind that. Well, South Korean and U.S. officials reportedly agreed on a framework for future discussions on tariffs and will continue talks this week, the trade ministry in Seoul said, this according to Bloomberg. The discussions focused on achieving a mutually beneficial trade balance between two countries, the trade ministry said. And that, I think that's probably sort of phase one of it. You get an understanding for a framework, and from that, then you begin to codify the tariff policy, right?
Yeah, you get an understanding of how the conversation is going to take place before you actually have the conversation.
Yeah. Well, Chip, EPA is under pressure to issue a nationwide emergency waiver allowing E15 fuel sales during the 2025 summer driving season.
While earlier this year, EPA advanced permanent waivers for 8 Midwest states, with South Dakota and Ohio granted a one-year delay, the agency has not yet confirmed if it will again issue a temporary nationwide waiver, as it did in 23 and in 2024.
I thought maybe we were going to get the initial waiver on Friday. Didn't happen. Basically, the bottom line, like Wiesmeyer said on Friday on the free-for-all, is it's got to happen by May 1.
Yeah. Well, PepsiCo CEO Ramon LaGuarta said the snacking giant will accelerate its transition to natural ingredients amid increasing consumer demand and pressure from the White House to remove artificial colors from foods. The Cheetos and Doritos maker PepsiCo plans to have transitioned all the portfolio into natural colors, or at least provide the consumer with natural color options in the next, quote, couple of years. Still, LaGuarta underscored that PepsiCo's chips, puffs, and other snacks are safe, and the company stands by the existing science. Chip?
Pepsi Clear didn't work the first time around, Davis. No. Don't know what makes them think it's going to work this time around.
Still holding out for Crystal Gravy, Chip.
Crystal Gravy, yes, that's right. Oh, man, we got Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, coming up next here on AgriTalk.
Farmers, don't miss the M3 Hilltop Ranch Retirement Auction on Purple Wave. No reserve auction closing May 14th. Featuring John Deere 7 and 8 Series tractors, a 2021 JD W235 wind rower, and more quality equipment in Rogersville, Missouri. Check purplewave.com for inspection details. Upgrade your operation with equipment from a name you trust. Start bidding at purplewave.com. Purple Wave, where community legacy meets farming future.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Summertime. Before the fun of fairs and barbecues, farmers are prepping for growing season and spraying to maximize yield. The Goodyear Ultra Sprayer is your ultimate solution for durability and traction when you have to spray post-emergence. Utilizing Titan's industry-unique Ultimate Flex technology, the Goodyear Ultra Sprayer is designed to handle soil type fluctuations and reduce ground pressure by handling more load capacity at lower inflation pressures than a standard tire. Contact your local Titan and Goodyear Farm Tire dealer today and get your sprayer ready to roll.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Monday morning when getting the week started here on AgriTalk. And that means we have a conversation with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, good morning, Chip. How you doing?
Doing just fine, man. I enjoyed your social media posts over the weekend. There was there was one post in particular that I was like, oh, man, that's cool. That's cool. And I'm sure we will get to it in the conversation here today. But first, let's go ahead and start it off with the pick of the week. What do you got?
Well, I think I maybe know the social media post you're referring to from this weekend, and it was hard not to make that the pick of the week, but it was a busy week this last. Yeah. And for had to pick one, I'm going to go out to Pennsylvania last Tuesday. My friends at Kerr Auction, Alex and Gina Kerr, they had a sale, consignment sale, again, Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. They had a Massey Ferguson 2705. I think it was a 1980. Okay. Don't know the hours on it, but Alex told me it was original paint. It looked really sharp, and it was a little interesting. It had a tinted windows in the cab, which Alex said that the seller said the AC didn't work, and years ago it got, you know, it gets hot out there in the summer when they're haying, so they tinted the windows, but it brought 19.5, and as it was selling, Alex, it was kind of, his eyes were opened, and he quick grabbed his phone and shot a little video. We shared that on our social media. But 19.5, that's the highest auction price I've ever seen on a Massey 2705. Wow. Previous high was 18,000 back December 16th of 21 in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. Hennessy implement sold a one-owner one with only 1,942 hours on it. So, again, hats off to Alex and Gina Kerr with Kerr Auction. Heck of a sale there in Pennsylvania last Tuesday.
So that's a 45-year-old tractor.
It is.
That tractor, it's going someplace to work, right?
Well, I assume so, yeah. And again, particularly because it didn't say it had like 2,500 hours on it or anything. So, right. Yeah, it's just, you know, you're buying horsepower.
Yeah.
And some people say that's nuts to spend almost $20,000 on a 45-year-old tractor. But I tell you what, more than half the people go, no, that's not nuts. That's a solid working tractor. Yeah. And it's, you know, if I want to get into anything newer, it's going to cost me, again, like we keep talking about, it's so much money that these solid older ones, they're actually going up in value. And we have numerous examples. I didn't even know if we could fit this in this week, but I threw in a note this weekend. My friends at Ulmer Auction Service out in Ashley, North Dakota, had a sale back, I think it was April 15th on tax day. Had a big consignment sale, and Brent Ulmer dropped me a note, and he goes, Pete, check this out. He goes, we sold this 1972 John Deere 4620 with a cab and a Dewall 340 loader, 7,000 hours on it. Now, it was interesting, the sale price, it brought $37,975. And Brent told me, he said, Pete, it was sold by the city of Tolstoy, South Dakota. By the way, population, I think Brent said 37. Now, the city of Tolstoy only used it to move snow. They'd owned it for over 25 years, and they'd had it on the side of the road with a sign on it, trying to sell it for years for like 10, 12, 15,000. No takers, no nibbles. Took it to Ulmer Auction Service, and they got $37,975 out of it. And again, you know, only used to move snow, so it's not a collector, but it's just a working man tractor.
Yep, exactly. Now the city clerk is saying, "Hallelujah, we got it's a little money they didn't expect."
The 25 budget is looking rosier in Tolstoy, South Dakota this year. That's awesome.
Yes, it is.
Thanks to Ulmer Auction Service. Yeah,
that's right. Let's go to Plano, Illinois.
It was Plano, I think it was Iowa, Plano, Iowa.
Oh, okay.
I think that was Wednesday. The auction company, Merit Auction, does have sales across Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa, all over the place. They had a farm auction. It was an estate sale for Donnie Hedgecock, again, last Wednesday. They had a John Deere 6115M with a loader, only 962 hours on it, went for $107.5, all-time record high auction price on a Deere 6115M. Previous record was 101,000 2 years ago. And a couple hay items, hay balers sold really well, Chip. They had a John Deere 338 square baler, went for 18,750. That's the third highest auction price I've ever seen on a 338. And a round baler, John Deere 568, went for 39,000. That's the fourth highest auction price ever on a 568. And my friend Zach Heiner with Merit had one more for me. He goes, Pete, look at this. A John Deere Gator 4x6, only had 884 hours on it, kind of an old classic-looking rig. That brought $67.50. So Merit Auction had a real nice sale in Plano, Iowa last Wednesday.
All right. All right. Let's go to Tennessee.
Yeah, this one was crazy. I posted this sold Saturday. It was Dunlop, Tennessee, sale by it was RLM Land and Auction. It was a Farmall M, just a solid looking one, kind of a light coating of dust. Yeah. Not barn find, but it just looked like a solid M. Okay, but it brought $7,100. Now I do not know the story on it. I think when we posted this on Facebook, it had like 250 comments or something. Obviously, you know, probably some family members, I'm guessing. There was no serial number information on it. I do not know if it was any type of rare one, but $7,100. Chip, I've documented over 2,500 auction prices on Farmall M's for 35 plus years. That's the second highest one I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Our friends at Almond Auction out in Nokomis, Illinois, had one back on October 24th of 2009 in Churubusco, Indiana. They had a 39 Model M with a Shepherd 6M conversion engine, brought 10,000. That's the only higher M I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So that one had them talking on social media for sure.
Yeah, that's the one that caught my attention over the weekend.
Yeah, that made football fans happy.
Exactly. All I could think about was that four-row cultivator mounted on the front of the M that we had when I saw that M.
and the hours spent. Oh, yes, the pieces of your life in the rearview mirror with that thing. Now, when I posted that note, I knew what would happen. You know, everyone says, "Oh gosh, my M is worth," and I'm, you know, hey, I'm not saying everyone's M is worth $7,100. In fact, that's why in the post I shared for the last 6 years, the average auction price on a Farmall M is run tightly like $1,350 to $1,550.
Right,
but you know, maybe there were a couple grandkids that had to have this one. I don't know.
Right.
But, again, it was interesting to see it and bring 7,100 in Dunlap, Tennessee.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. What else you been picking up on social media? Any interesting conversations?
Oh, lots of interesting conversations. You know, again, the auction pricing on good condition used stuff with a bit of age on it is strengthening. And honestly, it's the first time that I've ever seen it in 35 plus years doing what I do where, I mean, honest to God, good condition used stuff is rising a little bit as the market is, I mean, it's not like new sales are depressed, very depressed.
Right.
So I don't know, you know, you brought it up a couple weeks ago, Chip, but you were first on it. You know, I don't know if it's this, our anticipation of more rising new prices to come with tariffs. I don't know. All I know is good used is going up, like that 6115M, you know, 107.5 on Wednesday. I'm seeing this all over the place. So it's the first time I've seen auction prices go up many times, but usually sales of new equipment are going right with it, but not this time.
Yeah. You're exactly right. In every market, and it looks like even the used machinery market, something signals that a low is coming in, and I wouldn't call a low in the market in general at this point, but we're starting to pick up some hints. So where are you going this week?
Hey, this week, Wednesday, folks, I'll be in Merrill, Wisconsin on Wednesday, April 30th, Integrity Sales and Auction. They have a huge 4-day sale there, 2025 spring equipment auction, 4,000 pieces of equipment they're selling. So I'll be over there doing a preview video tomorrow. On Wednesday, if you're around Merrill, Wisconsin, central part of the state, hop on out. Check out their website, integritysales.com. But construction equipment, recreational vehicles, forestry equipment, semis, dump trucks. I've covered all that stuff all these 35 years, so fun to get out and focus on a sale like Sales and Auction. Great crew over there. Eric Cannon, their director of sales. They're kind of moving in the marketplace. They're coming on, so it's going to be fun to get over there to Merrill on Wednesday.
And heads up, pedal tractor fans, huh?
Oh, check out our latest Machine Repeat podcast. Came out yesterday, folks. We did a story. Gerard Auction and Land Brokers out of Wakanda, South Dakota, has a sale this Saturday, May 3rd. a state auction for Jay Udy, a legendary figure in ag education circles. He was the former state director of Texas Education. He has 100 pedal tractors. Go to GerardBid.com. It's this Saturday. It is going to be a fantastic sell.
Very cool. Yeah, that one might have to pay attention and see what's happening on that one. Greg, good stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Hey, have a good week, guys.
You too. That is Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete. We're going to take a close look at the weather coming up next. Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com.
Get the equipment you need at the M3 Hilltop Ranch Retirement Auction, where everything sells no reserve. John Deere 7 and 8 Series tractors, a 2021 JDW 235 windrower, and more. Selling to the highest bidder in Rogersville, Missouri. Skip the back and forth and bid confidently at purplewave.com before May 14th. Find the right equipment at the right price only at Purple Wave.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi. We talk a lot about roots, and part of our roots is offering a little something for everyone in Bluff Country. A lot of people ask me, do you have chicken feed? Yep, sure do. Do you have fertilizer for our crops? Yep, sure do. Seed for our lawn and garden? Yep, sure do. How about hay nets for our horses? Yep, we've got that too. Strong roots help communities thrive. At Bluff Country Feed and Seed, we've got the people and products to start building your roots.
Milk markets are mostly higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins at the Mercantile Exchange. May milk up 2 to 18.29, June up 11 to 17.19, July up 3 to 17.65, August down 6 at 18.01. Live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly higher as the strength in the cash markets last week spillovers into additional support this week. Higher boxed beef prices also helping to support live and feeder cattle markets. Hogs moving mostly lower after failing to break through resistance levels. That's led to a bit of a profit-taking sell-off in the hog markets today. April live cattle up $1.65 to $215.90. May feeder cattle up $1.42 to $291.95. May hogs down 37 cents to $92.42. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn is moving up mostly lower. Wheat also moving mostly lower. Some strength in the dollar. Also concerns about trade issues continuing to pressure corn and wheat, even though export inspections for corn were viewed as positive. Soybeans moving mostly higher, short covering and strength in soybean oil helping to support the soybean market. New crop corn down 4.5 to 451.25. New crop beans up 0.5 to 1035.5. May wheat down 14.5 to 515.5. Minneapolis wheat may down 6.75 to 584.5.
The Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is here for all your primary care needs. From annual visits and sports physicals to new or chronic conditions, our compassionate team looks forward to caring for you during all stages of life. For your convenience, we offer on-site lab, same-day appointments, physical therapy, and more services to come. Call the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic to schedule your appointment at 715-926-1113.
Farmers, Elsevia is pleased to announce the new Hager City Grain Terminal is now open and accepting grain. Grain deliveries will be accepted Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. until 5 p.m. The new Hager City Terminal can unload your grain quickly and efficiently and ship it to markets in the Southwest and Pacific Northwest. Grain deliveries are being accepted at the Hager City Grain Terminal. Visit elsevia.com/HagerCity for more information.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Can I sneak in here, Chip?
Yes.
I've been Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Davis Michelson, Chip Flory. We're going to talk to Brett Waltz. I had the opportunity over the weekend to visit Lindsberg, about 3 hours west. Took me a little drive through wheat country. It was interesting. There were definitely some controlled burns going on. Some had been going on. Some of that wheat looked really good, though, Chip. There were some puddles and fields. You know, they had more water out there than I thought they did.
Yeah.
I'm a corn boy. I'm completely unqualified to scout wheat. But some of it was really nice blue-green. That I do know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Let's bring in Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Brett. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Chip. How are you?
Well, I'm okay, except I'm a little anxious about the weather up here in northeast Iowa today.
Yeah, you know, it looks pretty nasty up there. As we get into the late afternoon and into the early evening hours, I think the only piece of good news that I have is that it doesn't look like necessarily everybody gets hit up there, but where the storms do develop, they have the potential to get pretty nasty pretty quick.
Yeah, no doubt. I was telling everyone earlier that already this morning we've been under a severe thunderstorm warning. Just had a pop-up shower, and we were the only severe thunderstorm warning in the country was right over the house. So it's off to an active start, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and that just goes to show, you know, the atmosphere is ripe, and it really will not take much as we get into this afternoon across really the majority of southern Minnesota, northern Iowa, and western Wisconsin. Any storm that develops has the potential to be severe with really large hail, damaging winds, but I'm also concerned that the environment is conducive for a couple of stronger tornadoes as well.
Yeah. You know, you go back to the start of the month, Brett, and we were having a conversation about the longer-term outlook, and you said, watch out for the second half of April. It's going to be more active in the middle of the country. Well, that certainly seems to have played out here. What's the driver behind this?
Yeah, so, you know, all these storm systems that we've been getting and the severe weather opportunities as well, kind of driven by La Nina-like winds in the atmosphere. Now, we're out of La Nina. The oceans are not in a La Nina state anymore, but the atmosphere is lagging behind. And it's very common when you get these weaker winds in the atmosphere that resemble what typically happens in a La Nina. It's very common that we get these big storm systems and these severe weather outbreaks.
Okay. The other happenings, weather happenings, can you credit that back to this La Nina-like system?
Yeah, a lot of what's going on in the atmosphere right now is related to that, I would say. It's why we've been we're getting into a relatively milder pattern as well.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a look forward. We know. Well, first off, bullseye for today on the severe weather. Where is it?
Yeah, bullseye for today is going to be, I would say, anywhere from, let's say, Mason City, Waterloo, La Crosse, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, up towards Eau Claire in Wisconsin. That's going to Rochester, Minnesota. That will be the bullseye today of the highest severe weather threat.
Okay, and where does that move to for tomorrow?
Sure. As we get into tomorrow, it's going to move further south into the east. You know, the threat itself, the entire threat will span from northern Texas all the way out through parts of New York and Vermont. But I think the worst of it tomorrow is kind of through central Ohio, northern Ohio, maybe southern Indiana, and into parts of western Pennsylvania and western New York.
Okay. All right. The atmospheric winds that we're dealing with right now, does that continue to influence us into the first part of May?
Yeah, it does. And I think it's going to drive a mild pattern. You know, I'm just looking at the pattern as we get kind of after the first couple of days of May. For the upper Midwest, the middle of the country, we're looking at temperatures that could be 5 to 10 degrees warmer than normal. And so good planting weather, I would say. It's going to be drier as well. That's going to help lend to a drier pattern in the eastern belt. But For the Western Belt, probably more rain and storm opportunities. You know, the Southern Plains have been active as of late, and I think they continue to stay active. And probably some rain opportunities for parts of Nebraska, Kansas, and maybe even up into the Dakotas as well.
Man, oh man. You're talking about bringing some moisture into the desert when you get right down to it, Brad.
Yeah, it's been, you know, they're still under drought conditions. It feels like they've been under drought conditions out there forever.
Yeah.
and this will help. This will help. Now, you know, whether that continues into June or not, we'll see. But I do think that especially the first part of May, there's some opportunities in there to cash in on moisture heading into the warmest time of the year, or right before the warmest time of the year.
Okay. All right. After tomorrow, I got a feeling that they've already said it, that enough is enough out in the Eastern Belt, that Ohio River Valley, Tennessee River Valley. Does it straighten out for the guys out east?
Yeah, it's going to. You know, additional rains this week, as you mentioned, you know, another inch for a good part of Illinois, Indiana, maybe as much as 1 to 2 inches plus in Missouri. But I do see that, especially after the 4th of the month, the pattern looks pretty inactive. You know, I think that we get into a much drier stretch and a milder stretch. It will be much needed for those areas, you know, that have been dealing with the moisture for the better part of the spring so far.
All right. All right. Well, there's still time in this ideal planting window for corn and soybeans. Hopefully we can get most of the work done. That needs to be done. Now, take us into the second half of May, into June, into July. When I look at the midsummer growing or weather forecast from the Climate Prediction Center, there's some concern that when it stops raining, it's going to stop raining.
I have that concern as well. I think that it could start to happen as early as the second half of May. I think that there's some rains in there. I'm more concerned that as we move into June, the pattern is consistently warmer than normal and drier than normal as well. You know, if we look at years that had we talked about the kind of La Nina-like atmospheric winds, years that had that going into summer with more of a neutral, you know, oceanic state like we're in right now, tended to be hotter and drier. And so, you know, what tends to happen is with those weaker winds, you set up these areas of high pressure as we get into the warmest time of the year. And I see a lot of that. You know, I am concerned June and July especially can be hotter than normal. And I'm definitely concerned for the primary growing regions, Minnesota, Nebraska, South Dakota, Iowa, to be much drier than normal as we get into the heart of the summer.
Okay, so with these winds and drier conditions, are you talking about, is there any way to predict that it's going to mean this for the humidity level?
That's a little bit more challenging, I would say. You know, it really depends. If we can get that high pressure to set up a little bit further east, it'd be worse for the Ohio Valley, but it could at least, you know, stream in some kind of those messy pop-up storms, and it would be higher humidity into the plains in the middle of the country. But right now, you know, I think that you're dealing with a kind of a relatively just hot and dry type of an air mass that would be setting up.
All right. The reason I was asking is because of nighttime temperatures. When you've got that humidity so doggone high, it just stays hot and sticky all night, that's one thing. But if it's relatively dry and it can cool off and give that plant a chance to rest and do its work, sometimes it offsets. Shouldn't say offset, but it lessens the severity of hot and dry during the day if we can cool it off good at night. So.
Yeah, and you know, May rains may play into that a little bit. If the ground gets super saturated, because again, we have some rain in the forecast across the middle of the country over the next 2 weeks or so. You know, if the soil moisture is really high, that as we get hot, kind of get stuck. And so it actually may be better to miss some of these rains, as crazy as that sounds, to prevent the soil from getting too moist and then that the, you know, the humidity from staying high as we get into the start of summer.
I hear you. I'm with you. You got to cool it off at night to give these plants an opportunity to do what they do. What else? I'm sure I'm missing something that we need to know about, Brett.
Yeah, you know, I think honestly, after we get past the next couple of weeks, the big story, and I think that there's good planting conditions in the Eastern Belt, which they need coming up. I think the big story just becomes, how fast do we get hot and dry into the summer? Looking at some of the data for the back half of May, there are some data indications that it could start getting pretty hot and dry, you know, the last third of May. I think that the worst of it, and quote unquote worst in terms of hot and dry, is the middle of the summer in July. And so just timing that out, I think, is going to be the biggest thing to watch. And then the second thing is, where's the worst of it set up? Right now, we think it's, you know, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, South Dakota, kind of in that area. Would not be 100% shocked if that tried to shift a little bit further east to include more of Illinois. That is something to monitor.
Wow. Setting it up. Here we go, huh? We're going to lean on you pretty heavy here for those updates as we make our way through. Hey, you got real quick, you got a webinar coming up.
We do, and we're going to touch on this in a lot more detail in that and kind of those risks to monitor. That's going to be on May 14th, Wednesday, May 14th. It's free to sign up at bamwx.com/webinar.
bamwx.com/webinar. Brett, thanks, man. Brett Waltz, bamwx.com.
Day one.
This is a paid sponsorship, not an endorsement by this program or station. Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting and rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Messaging data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
If you've thought about trying Ozempic, Wegovy, or other GLP-1 medications, you probably know that they can be expensive and hard to get access to. But not anymore. There's this great company called Zelthy. They're 100% online, and if you qualify, their prescribers can prescribe medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive. That's right, no long way to the doctor's office or pharmacy. Everything is shipped right to your door. Zelthy can also provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s, but for 80 to 90% less. This is a great time to see if you qualify for GLP-1 medications with Zelthy, and all you have to do to get started is send them a text. Just text IMPACT to 200-300. Don't wait. Text right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text the word IMPACT to 200-300. That's IMPACT to 200-300. IMPACT to 200-300.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Global Ag LSW Product Manager at Titan International, Scott, LSW, low sidewall technology. Talk to me about the benefits of LSW tires.
We started when we took your standard 870R38 tire with a large aspect ratio and actually put a 46-inch wheel in it. By lowering the sidewall height, you gain performance enhancement characteristics. So power hop in the field, you know, when the tractor is hooking up, buckles, and then it releases that energy, makes that tractor literally hop out in the field. So by shortening that sidewall with the same OD as an 838, you don't get that buckling effect, and you're able to run lower inflation pressures and keep the power to the ground. The other issue that we were seeing was we call road loop. You get this big machine, and those sidewalls are just big springs. And as that spring contracts and expands, that's where you get that loping on the road to the point where you have to actually slow up and settle the track down. by us physically changing the sidewall and making it shorter, we actually put a natural dampening effect in that. So you eliminate that roadblock.
Okay, very good. Take it to the bottom line for us. You've got new yield and fuel consumption data for LSW tires. Tell me about it.
We had studies up in Canada where they saw 30% reduction in fuel consumption versus standard dual machine. We're just going over some data from a grower in Illinois that saw a substantial 17% increase in yields on the N-Rows. That's like the lost world, right? Everybody just gives that up. But by using the super single lower compaction LSW tire, you're actually gaining in those areas too.
Excellent. Thank you, Scott. You can get more information on the LSW tires by going to www.titan-intl.com/supersingles. That is Scott Sloan, Global Ag LSW Product Manager at Titan International.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Ty Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why QLF? QLF provides a complete supplement package to your beef operation that is flexible enough to balance diets with a diverse range of feedstuffs. Liquid supplements can provide supplemental protein, macro and micro minerals, vitamins, and additives needed by high-performing cattle with a high degree of flexibility to meet your individual needs. Visit QLF.com. That's QLF.com.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Quality Liquid Feeds, liquid supplements for all beef cattle. QLF provides nutrition, tech support, and equipment services to help your cattle thrive. Visit QLF.com.
Get some help on the farm, somebody with a
All right, since November, there has been an effort, a joint effort between the U.S. and Mexico to prevent the northern push of the New World screwworm from Mexico into the U.S. And a lot of activity at the border, a lot of control efforts that have been taking place. And we may need to refocus on some issues there. Joining us right now to talk about it, Ethan Lane, Senior VP for Government Affairs at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Ethan, it's good to talk to you. How are you?
You know, I'm doing all right, Chip. How are you guys doing?
Doing real fine, real fine. Okay, what happened? What happened? What put the screw worm back in the headlines?
Well, for some of us, the screw worm has never left the headlines in the last few months. But you got two different things going on at once here. You have the border issue, right? You have the ability for cattle to cross from Mexico into the United States. USDA worked with Mexico, created some protocols back in November, December, into January that allow for small amounts of cattle to cross to ensure that none of them are bringing screwworm across the border, right? Because you could have cattle coming up from southern Mexico that could bring it with them. So that's number one. But number two is the ongoing effort to make sure we are pushing screwworm back down to Central America, stopping it from moving north, which is sort of a little bit independent of whether or not cattle are crossing, mainly because even if we had no cross-border trade, we still have to be worried about how Mexico responds to and controls the spread of this fly, because it can be carried in wildlife or whatever else. That means dropping the 100 million New World screwworm sterile male flies a week that are produced in this facility we've worked with Panama on since the 1960s into the kind of leading edge of this incursion on a weekly basis. That, for the last 7-8 weeks, has been really stymied by a variety of sort of, paperwork delays and weird requirements and additional sort of tariffs on things from the Mexican government, which has led to some or most of those flies not going where they need to go to stop the spread of this fly north. And right now, it is right about at that isthmus in the middle of Mexico, which is the narrowest point in the peninsula, which is critical because it's the last chance we have to really hold this fly with the amount of flies we have available. So this is kind of the last best hope to draw a fire line and keep this thing from moving north. So we're incredibly grateful that the Secretary of Agriculture weighed back in with the Mexican government and said, look, gang, unless you can do the things you need to do to let us solve this problem for you, we're going to have to shut this whole thing down until we can get a better handle on it.
Okay. All right. Does the timing of this seem strange to you, Ethan?
No. I mean, I understand there are a lot of other things going on at the moment. This is really about the fact that this is a critical moment in the effort to stop the spread of this fly. There is nowhere else making these sterile male flies. It's an incredibly labor-intensive and costly process. We have 100 million a week in production down in Panama, and right now that's it. So we're looking at other spots. APHIS is working with the Hill, and we're working with the Hill looking for additional money. And all of those solutions are multi-year solutions. So there's this kind of moment in time where we've got enough ammunition to do what we need to do, but we need everybody hitting their marks. And right now, Mexico's not doing that.
And the sterile flies is a proven process to control the population of screwworm, isn't it?
It is the only tool available to control this population is to basically they irradiate male flies, make them sterile, deploy them into the in the wild population. Obviously, the females then don't reproduce, and you beat back the incursion.
Right.
We had it on an island off of Florida some years ago, 2017, I think. Only 55 key deer or something on that island. It took 5 months to eradicate it. So this is no joke, and it's just not something we are interested in entertaining in any way, shape, or form in the U.S. We have got to stop this thing in Mexico and push it back the other direction.
Is Mexico importing the problem from the south and not doing enough to control the issue on cattle coming in from the south?
So they're doing their part. They're conducting inspections. They caught the initial incursion into Mexico through their inspection processes at the border. The problem is you've got cattle that are moving by less than official means, obviously. I mean, I don't know. I think anyone's going to be shocked that's listening to this program that they don't have 100% handle on where cattle are moving in southern Mexico. You have a pretty porous border. You have wildlife movements. You have a lot of human movement. You know, we could go down a rabbit hole on all the problems since we lost control of the Darien Gap and sort of what that's meant to controlling anything moving through Central America and up towards the U.S. border. But all of that kind of plays into what is a really difficult area to control. And so the only real other weapon we have there is to get these planes flying and drop these flies.
Yep. Okay. All right. Is there enough being done at the U.S.-Mexico border to satisfy NCBA that the efforts are being made?
The border crossing protocols are working properly. They are doing what they need to do. We're not seeing high rejection rates. In fact, we're seeing rejection rates close to zero, which means the cattle that are getting there are appropriate. They're being treated properly. They're crossing. The U.S. side is happy with what they're seeing, and the cattle are moving. So the protocols and the border structure is working. Now, I think the Mexicans would like to see more of it. Understood. We probably have some producers, you know, on the feeding side that would like to see a higher volume as well, given where we are with cattle numbers right now. And those are all things that I think need to be worked on at the point that we feel comfortable that we've got a system in place that's controlling this fly moving forward. And I think that's what the secretary is really leading on right now, is saying, look, gang, all things are possible, but you got to get a hold of this first.
Sure seems like she's got a good understanding of how serious this problem is, Ethan.
She does.
Yeah. Yep. That's awesome. That's good. All right. You know we're going to lean on you to keep us up to speed on what's happening there.
Yes, sir. I'll be here whenever you need me.
Sounds good. That is Ethan Lane, Senior VP of Government Affairs at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Big thank you to Ethan. And you know what? Big thank you to Secretary Brooke Rollins at USDA for the efforts and the doubling down to make sure that we can get this stuff under control. All right. Hey, thank you for listening this morning. Appreciate it. Now, you got to come back this afternoon. I said last week, we need to check in with our friends at Tucrium ETS, and we're going to do that. Jack Hanley is going to be with us. And tomorrow morning here on AgriTalk, Randy Dowdy and David Hula.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hard-working folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
I'm Ty Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Police in Florida still investigating the cause of last night's deadly